sisters on their first annual Women's Day. If there's nothing quite like sisterhood, is it not? I heard a quote, and I'm going to share with you. It says, a strong woman knows she has strength enough for the journey. But a woman of strength knows it is in the journey where she becomes strong. So I want you to put on your imagination, your sanctified imagination with me, if you will, and imagine the woman, the picture of a woman with a 50-pound weight in one hand and the Bible in the other hand as she bows in prayer before the Lord. A woman who fears the Lord, right, is a great woman. So today we've come to honor sisterhood. So let me just talk about the women for a moment. Just for a moment. Let me just talk about our honorees for today. Brothers, I invite you to eavesdrop on the conversation. She's unstoppable. She can make anything happen. The beauty of sisterhood. We think about our sisters, we're so different, are we? We are different in the way we think. We're different in our strengths, our weaknesses. We're different in our gifts and our talents. We're different in all shapes, sizes. And somebody said we range from pecan tan to mocha chocolate to jet black, peas and plum pie as far as the summertime. We're said to be the apple of God's eye. And we also said to be the apple of man's eye. But I don't know about you, but I like the fact that we're apple of God's eye, right? Because David said, God, keep me as the apple of your eye. If David asked that, then I know that I am too the apple of God's eye. Women are phenomenal. Women are resilient and full of fight. As women, even when there have been times when giving up seemed like the best option on the table, but we persevered and we realized that that was not the option that we were to take. We kept finding ourselves saying, if it ain't one thing, it's another. Jobs, children, husbands, wives, politicians, bills, church folk, church folk, church folk. That person who's gotten on my last nerve. But you know what? We often look at our ancestors who pushed through Jim Crow, slavery, segregation, mistreatment, and somehow they pushed through those things that could have killed them or destroyed them. But they kept singing, up above my head, I hear music in the way. Up above my head, I hear music in the air. There must be, there gotta be a God somewhere. No matter what, we have had the ability as a sisterhood to stand strong in the midst of adversity. We would have lost hope if there had not always been a word from the Lord. If there had not always been a word for God to guide us along his path of this thing we call life. Somebody said, life be lifing. Life can knock the life out of you. There's always somewhere to go. There's always somebody we can call on. But I don't know about you. If it had not been for the Lord who's on my side, I tell you, I don't know where I would be. Hallelujah. Everything we need, God supplies. Everything we need, God supplies. I said, everything we need, God supplies. Hold back, I'm saying again, everything we need, God supplies. Now that I've introduced you to my sisters, there's a word from the Lord found in Deuteronomy. It's already been read for you, but I'm going to read it again. When we were at Mount Sinai, the Lord our God said to us, you have stayed at this mountain long enough. It's time to break camp and move on. I'm going to try to honor your theme, it's time to move on, but my title for my sermon this morning is simply, Decision Determines Destiny. So we must unpack the background of the text before we can expand upon the text in the proper context. The book of Deuteronomy represents much of the history of the land that is found in Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers. Let me back up. If we were to read Genesis 11, verses 31 through 32, we find the writings about Abraham's father, Terah. Terah lived in the city of Uz and had intended to move to Canaan with a family. However, he only reached the city of Haran, and they settled there. Then in Genesis 12, God calls Abraham to leave his country and his kinfolk. God made Abraham a promise that he would bless and make his name great. So have you considered the possibility that God instructs Abraham to fulfill his father's, Terah's, unfulfilled plan to travel to and settle in Canaan, his intended destiny? They stopped, they settled, and they got stuck. Decision determines destiny. Egyptians.
Yes.
And then in Numbers 13 and 30, God brings them to the edge of the land of Canaan and calls on them to go and take the land, promising that he would be with them and they would defeat their enemies. They do not go. They do not move. And you recall that they sent spies to Canaan to check out the land. They came back and they said, yes, it's flowing with milk and honey. Yes, the fruit is good. I even have some for you to taste. But they got some strong folk over there and the city is well protected. They said, we cannot take the city. But Caleb said, let us go up at once and occupy the city, for we are able to do this. And the other spies said, no, Caleb, I don't know what you're talking about. We can't go. They're too big for us. We see ourselves as grasshoppers compared to them, and so do they. They saw themselves as little, even though God had told them that they would prevail. Even though God had told them that God would be with them, they still said, no, we can't go. And this is the first generation of Israelites. They did not move to possess the promised land. God gave them the land, beloved. It was theirs, beloved, but they were stirred to go to get what belonged to them. And then in chapter 14 and around verse 20, God told Moses, he said, I forgive just as you have asked. However, none of these people who did not obey my voice, none of them shall see the land that I swore to give to their ancestors. Only my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit and has followed me wholeheartedly. So he and his descendants will possess the land. So God remained faithful because God is a faithful God. And he promised to give the land to Abraham to Abraham's descendants, but not that generation. Instead, he said, I will give it to their children, to the next generation of the Israelites. So God brings Israel to the border of the promised land a second time. And this is where the book of Deuteronomy begins. You've stayed at this mountain long enough. It's time to break camp and move on. Now listen, Moses is talking to the new generation, right, of Israelites. It's a new era, a new opportunity. Again, these were the children who had left Egypt and were now adults. The words Moses spoke are his last before his death. They're still in the wilderness. They're just preparing to go into the promised land. Almost 40 years later, it's the 40th year. Now remember, this was an 11-day journey, and it took them 40 years.
11 days.
And there are consequences to our disobedience. Come on. Let that sink in for a moment. God tells them a second time, it's time to move from here. So Moses reminds them and repeats to the new generation God's commandments. He says, don't be like your fathers and forefathers. Don't be like your ancestors. Moses did not want them to repeat the mistakes of the past. Therefore, he goes over all the twists and turns of their wilderness experience to help them to understand where they have come from and where they're going. Beloved, we need to understand where we've come from before we know where we're going.
Amen.
They were never supposed to stay stuck. A year was enough. God said, I did not bring you out of Egypt to live in Mount Sinai. Enough is enough. Fast forward, we know that it was Joshua who actually led the people into the promised land. But Joshua told, Joshua 1:1-9, the Lord tells Joshua to lead the Israelites across the Jordan River and into the promised land. Which brings us full circle back to our text for today. I hope I haven't lost you.
Go ahead.
Moses, of course we know, dies, right? He gets to see the promised land, but he does not get to go to the promised land because of what?
Disobedience.
Disobedience has consequences. You're stayed around this mountain long enough. It's time to break camp and move. Decision, determine, destiny. So what are the spiritual nuggets that we can learn from this text? Number one, God has promised us a land of privilege and provision found in Christ Jesus. We are descendants of Abraham. Therefore, Abraham's blessings are our blessings. In our society, we say some folk are privileged simply because of the color of their skin or the family they were born in. Beloved, as Christians and followers of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, we are privileged as well. However, I submit to you that we live beneath our privileges simply because we don't know what it means to be royalty. We don't know what it means to be in Christ Jesus. don't know what it means to be royalty.
Yeah.
We don't understand all that Jesus did when Jesus died for us.
Yeah.
We don't understand what it means that we have abundant life, everlasting life.
Yeah.
We don't understand what it means, hallelujah, that we are victorious, that we're more than conquerors. We don't understand what it means, all the privileges that we have because we are connected to Christ Jesus. But they're on the way to the promised land. God's people stopped in Mount Sinai and it stayed there for almost a year. Sometimes when we stop a thing, we get stuck and stopped.
Yes.
It's hard to move again when we get comfortable and complacent. They stopped and got stuck.
Yeah.
Terah got stuck. The first generation of Israelites got stuck. As you reflect on your life, are you stuck in some place? Are you stuck in your mindset? Are you stuck in the past? Are you stuck in your pain? Notice God said it is time. Because there's a time to be still. There's a time to think things over. There's a time to stop. But there's also a time to move again. But the Bible tells us that there's a time for everything in the book of Ecclesiastes. There's a time for everything under the sun. A time to be born and a time to die. Hallelujah. A time of war and a time of peace. And in between those two big bookends, there's a time for also other things.
Yes.
But there's a time when we have to put our big girl panties on and move on.
Yes.
Realize that we do not have to move alone. God said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And that's a word I have said over and over and over in my life. God never will leave you nor forsake you. Somebody else might leave you. The mother might leave you. Daddy might leave you. The poor might leave you. But God never will leave you, beloved. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Bible is always my go-to when I need a reference.
Uh-huh.
And so today, being Women's Day, it's always the time to lift up the sisters in the Bible.
Yeah.
So I want to highlight a biblical woman whose name we remember, Esther.
Yeah.
The book of Esther has much controversy surrounding it because of the actions and the character of a Jewish woman named Esther.
Yeah.
The nation of Israel, as you know, was living under the rule of a pagan god.
Yeah.
When you read the book, silence. Utter silence when we read the scripture. We expect to hear God's voice. Nowhere in the pages is God's name mentioned.
Come on.
But God may have appeared to be silent.
Come on.
But God was not absent.
Come on.
Appeared to be voiceless, but there was a powerful godly presence.
Yeah. Well,
God's hand was all up in the situation. All up in the book. And it's in this silence and the stillness that this young woman enters the scene. Esther is a young Jewish member of an oppressed people. She finds herself in a sticky situation. Esther has been chosen queen, but she had two strikes against her. Beloved, it sounds like the women of color, does it not? You remember Rosa Parks was a woman who was tied. She was simply tied. She just wanted to sit down, and she refused to move from her seat. But that move made all the difference in the world. Jerina Lee may have never become the first AME female preacher if she had not made the bold move to the pulpit at Mother Bethel AME Church in Philadelphia. When Reverend Richard Williams was not able to speak that day, she simply impulsively got up, opened her mouth, and the next is history. But somebody said she might have been out of order. She had no business preaching. Well, if God said move, you got to move. Hallelujah. Kamala Harris made the move to say, I want to be the president of these United States of America.
Well,
the outcome was not what she wanted, not what she hoped for, but she made the move. Regardless of who sits in the Oval House, who sits in the White House, we know who the real king is. Jesus will be the president of everybody. So we don't worry about those things. We might be concerned and my servants and my people will tell you.
All right.
So ain't no stopping us now.
People
heard this. I don't know if y'all know Dr. Jazz. because we spent so much time where we are, we think that eventually staying here will pay off.
Come on.
But God has given you your marching orders. God has ordered your steps. And God says, I want you to go to a place called there. And you say, well, God, where is there? I will tell you when you get there. And when you get there, I will be there. For I already in your care. Look up. Why do we get stuck? A lack of trust in God. We trust in our money. We trust in our government. We trust in our family. We trust in our friends. And when God says to trust me, we have difficulty trusting God. Open up your hearts in God's presence. I'm moving on from here to there, for I know that I'm in God's hands. I'm moving on. I'm moving on from this place of desperation. I'm moving on from this place of despair. I'm moving on from this place of pain. I'm moving on from this place of panic. Wherever your place is, beloved, I want you to move on from it this day. Whatever you do, don't sit there. Your destiny is not there. Your destiny is over there. And it's within your reach. Now I'm going to leave you with one last song as I protect my seat. Hallelujah. Jonathan McReynolds and Molly Music. I'm closing chapters. I'm turning pages. Glory to glory. From faith to faith. I'm moving on. I'm moving on. I'm moving on. I know my rear view can't compare to what God will do with my life. And I'm forgetting what's behind me. I finally decided I'm moving on. I'm moving on. I'm moving on. I'm in God's hands. It's time to move. You have saved too long. Decision. Determined. Definitely. Good and gracious God, we thank you for your word. Thank you for your beautiful women. We thank you for our brothers. And God, we thank you for every person who's in the house today. God, we thank you for what you have done thus far in this service. God, you are to be glorified, and you are to be edified. God, we praise you, and God, we worship you.